This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. A bit of a departure from things we often do. Had an interesting opportunity come up, so we decided to take it and go a little bit out of our normal box and talk to someone that we've talked to before, but this time around in a different role. Joe LaFontaine is the superintendent of the Days Creek Charter School. We talked to him at the start of the school year, but he is also an author. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me, Kyle.
I'm pretty fascinated by this. First of all, how did you get into writing outside of, you know, educational things?
Well, actually, my first book I wrote back in 2002, and it was at my wife's suggestion. It was a story that I used to tell my students every year around Halloween. It was kind of a spooky story, but it was a true story. And it was actually a series of events that happened in Green area. And so the students knew some of the landmarks and actually even knew some of the characters. And so the students used to always come up to me later and tell me that they still remembered that thing. And my wife said, you just got to write that. And so in 2002, I wrote my first book.
And we should remind people that while you came back to the area in the last year or two, you grew up around here.
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in Winston. I went grades 1 through 12 in the Winston-Dillard School District, graduating in 1976.
So how you did that first book, have you done other ones as well?
Just these two. I was full-time employed running schools. And so it's just something I could do in between things. This book actually took me years to finish. And it wasn't until I retired that I really got a chance to put the final strokes to it.
And I would imagine if the first one was how many years ago?
Oh, goodness. It's almost 20. Yeah.
So certain aspects of doing it, I mean, that was not quite, but all the computer capacity and all the things like that were very different.
Yeah. Oh, a lot different. Yeah, you have so many self-editing tools now and so many AI tools, it'll actually help catch any of your editorial things. It's really kind of nice.
So talk about the storyline of this book and Holly Wondra. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Holly Wondra. So it's a fictional story about a land that some students who grow up in Montana end up going to resolve some conflict that occurred in this other world. And so it's formed around some teenage relationships, and that's actually my target audience is for young teens and teenagers. It's Holly Wondra is a place of great myth and mystery, removed from much of the land, even in the fantasy land. It's a place that's kind of remote and not many people know much about.
295 pages. No wonder it took a while.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit verbose, huh?
Well, as you go through it, where did your idea for this come from?
So it came from a number of things, actually. I used to play some fantasy games with friends, and so that was some of where it came from. And other parts of it actually come from just my own personal readings that I had in the past. I really enjoyed your Tolkien, your C.S. Lewis, and those types of books. And when I first began teaching back in the 80s, I initially began teaching literature. It was the first courses that I taught. And one of the things that I noticed was a real absence of quality material for students that didn't like stray off into areas that parents might find too sensitive. And so I really tried to aim this a little bit more toward the middle of the road in regards to those types of social mores and keeping it so that it was interesting, fast-paced, but it didn't offend. It really focuses a lot on the notions of dedication and trust and faith and loyalty and those types of things around a group of teenage-age people trying to make their way through the world they're in, and then a world they never knew anything about.
So the first time around when you wrote that book, what was involved in getting it published?
So the first time around, the first book that I wrote, it was easier to write simply because I knew the story. I told the story so many times that I literally was able to generate the first book. It was called Scholastic Moon Temple. It's no longer in print. But it was easy to write because I knew the story. I mean, I was able to do it in 3 months. In that case, I had that one published through a company called Publish America, which is a self-publishing agency out in Maryland.
And what was different about getting Holly Wondra published?
Well, Holly Wondra, I was focused. This book has a lot more focus around faith than the other one. And so I was looking for a faith-based publisher for this one. And so that's why I went to Christian Faith Publishing.
And what's the process involved when you approach a publisher like that and say, here I've got this book and here's why you should publish it?
Well, first off, I will tell you, if you're going to try and get any book published, a lot of publishers won't even speak to you unless you have a publishing agent. The publishing agent has to speak almost on your behalf. Publish America is also a self-publisher, so you don't have to have a publishing agent to work with them. They have to still look at your transcript and accept your transcript, but they don't have that one piece that is so hard to do, which is to find an agent that'll actually serve you in that capacity.
You know, it's amazing. I think about in the course of a given year, I have no idea how many books are published, and some books now published simply in an online type format, so not necessarily a physical copy like you brought in today, but there's so many different options.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me too, because when I first got done with the book and I started looking at agencies, I couldn't even tell you how many I contacted. It was incredible to me. There's entire businesses around connecting authors to agencies even, and I enlisted in a couple of those, and I reached out to just numerous, and it's really quite a bit of work, but many of them just focus on a specific genre, so that helps. If you have your genre and you know what you're doing, you can still target people, but many of them just are either too busy with what they're already doing, or they may not want to take a book that's like yours right now. And some of them said, you know, I was doing those 6 months ago, or I'm not on that now. And so it was just really kind of fascinating to find out how those trends exist in the book book writing.
Well, it reminds me a bit of the world of music over the years, as I've met a lot of musicians in different genres, and there have been folks, including some national folks that I've gotten connected to, who are incredibly talented and just really great and had a big hit song. But Madonna had a bigger hit song at the time, and their song made it to number two and never made it to number one. And that really set the course for their path, which would have been much different had Madonna not been so successful that particular year. I can think of the daughter of someone I used to work with in Portland that was well-known. One big hit, second hit did okay. Several months later, it was back to your day jobs in music education and all of that, which was still a great pathway, but it was up and down, and it was really just, you know, what's the market hot for that at that time?
Yeah, absolutely. This is actually just more a labor of love than it was anything else. I recognize that there's a need for this type of book in our schools and for our kids, and so that's what I was really aiming at.
Yeah, so you're not really, while you hope to make money on it, that's not your primary objective.
Oh, no, huh? No, it's really not. I mean, that would be nice, but it's really, this isn't what's going to feed me at the end of the day, that's for sure.
So, if you enjoy writing so much, I would imagine you read a lot.
Oh, yeah. I read all the time.
And, of course, now you've still got Days Creek Charter School to deal with. How much time do you actually have to read?
Not much. It's funny because when I was retired, I could read more more recreationally. But now that I'm back at work, I'm reading more professional stuff. So, like, I'm reading Schmoker's Get Results Now 2.0, which nobody else probably who's listening to the show is reading right now. But it's a great book on educational improvement.
And you probably are looking at things like curriculum and different things like that that you've got to read through.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, every day.
It is called Holly Wondra. Joe LaFontaine back in a moment on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue at 4. We'll have encore programs tomorrow and Tuesday. Of course, the Oregon Ducks in the Fiesta Bowl on Monday. I'll be back in studio Wednesday with another live program. Joe LaFontaine is the superintendent at Dace Creek Charter School and the author of Holly Wondra. Now, you mentioned it took a long time to write. How long has it been out?
It's been out since Christmas. Well, I'm sorry, that's not true. It's been out since, Thanksgiving, is what I meant to say. Yeah.
So, not that long. When the book gets out there and through the publishing process that you're doing, how do people hear about it?
Well, you know, social media is really it. That's really that and your media systems are the best way. The publisher has a company that actually helps do some of the advertising for you. But even at the end of the day, many people will see the title of a book and then they'll go, and they'll walk on by. It's so funny, the old axiom about a book and its cover. It does sometimes make a difference if the cover captures the eye of somebody and then they see that that's interesting enough to actually open it and start taking a look inside.
Now, do you, for your personal reading, do you still prefer printed books or do you do a lot of ebooks?
I'm still printed. I still like the feel of the book in my hand. I like being able to stick the bookmark in the book, come back to it. I don't mind putting an extra one in my briefcase. I can take it with me. As a matter of fact, if I don't have it that way, I'm probably not going to get through it because I've found that I spend so much time on the monitors as it is in my everyday work that I just find that exhausting for myself. So the written page is much more comfortable for my eyes.
You know, it's interesting how, we've talked with Chris Wiley at the library about this, because it really varies. And some people, I can think of someone I know who reads a lot, who primarily went to the Kindle format, partly because of just space. You know, how much of the house do you want to fill up with physical books that you are going to most likely read once or keep around again to share or whatever? But yeah, there's an interesting dynamic about, you know, a big, thick book here. I mean, I can... You know, it actually makes noise there. And you bring up a good point in terms of remembering exactly where you stopped. There's probably a way to do that on Kindle. I'm not a Kindle person. But it is interesting how everybody's kind of worked through this a little differently. And I would agree that there's aspects of not being on a screen when your job entails a lot of screen time that's probably provides additional refreshment that you wouldn't get mentally if you were doing it on Kindle or one of those.
Yeah, even so much as the posture that you're permitted to sit with. I mean, you know, you can take your book and you can lean back in a chair and, you know, really kind of get into it and let it kind of wash over you, as opposed to, it seems like when it comes to the monitors, I find myself upright and leaning forward into them more so. And so it's just a difference in posture, I think, too.
So what do you get out of this process mentally when you've got a book and you can look at that and go, okay, I got that completed?
Well, for me, it's about being able to try to tell the story right and wrap it up. There's a real sense of completion to it. I can tell you, in writing the book, I probably edited it from front page to back no less than 20 times. So if you'll imagine reading a 300-page book 20 times, that's what I'm basically saying, is that I would just go through it with that type of meticulous care of trying to make sure that it read right and flowed right, and different aspects of it were tied together in such a way that it was logical. And the reader, when they're reading it, would be able to see, I see. You know, so the foreshadowing that you see at one juncture several chapters ago now comes together chapters later.
So do you find yourself waking up in the middle of the night going, okay, page 121 needs alteration?
No. I've got to do it at the moment. When I'm doing that type of work, I've got to do it at the moment. And I crawl through it, basically, and to do it.
Now, tell us more about kind of the storyline here and how all that came together.
Sure. So the story is basically about two worlds, if you will. There's, you know, our modern-day world, Montana, if you will, small-town Montana, and a fictional town there. And then there's a fantasy world called Namron Ray, which is this place that has a collision. When characters from Namron Ray recognize that there's a missing artifact that they absolutely have to survive, they have to transfer themselves from that fantasy world to the modern world, find the artifact, return to their world to save the existence of their race.
And how do you come up with that idea?
I don't know. I really don't remember how that all came about so long ago. I have read so many different fantasy books and novels over time. It's probably just an amalgamation of things that I've read over time.
Now, are you planning to write more in the future? I mean, do you think there's another book up the road?
Yeah, actually, I think that there is actually a sequel to this. If not a third volume that could come from this. The way that the book ends, you can see that there's some unfinished business, you might say, that the characters could have. While things kind of do come to some conclusion, there's definitely some loose ends.
And as you look at this, what kind of response have you gotten so far? I mean, it's obviously only been a month.
Yeah. So the people who have actually looked at it and read it have enjoyed it. So, but that's not a lot of people, and that's okay too. For me, I've enjoyed putting it out there, and I'm enjoying hearing back from people what they think of it. So,
and do you get folks that maybe know you as, for instance, parents at the school, or even some of the older kids in particular? Have they, any of them, looked at it?
They're not the ones who've spoken to me. I've told some of them about it. It's kind of interesting because they see me wearing a different hat. And so when they find out that I'm also an author, they kind of go, their head just kind of spins a little bit. It's like how or when do you have time to do that? You know, and I just explained that it's something that I did before I came here, and it's just now being published. So it is fairly new in release, and for that reason, I haven't run into a lot of people who have actually had a chance to read it and finish it yet.
It's kind of like educators always identify with this because students and even sometimes parents are surprised that you have to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, exactly. We do have another life, yeah.
So it's interesting. Looking through it here, this is a lot. Any idea how many hours?
Oh, man. I couldn't even begin to calculate. Yeah, there was times that my wife and I, we would go away just so that I could write. And we'd go away for 4 or 5 days, and I would spend those days just writing. And then she would go get us food and bring it back, you know. And it wasn't much of a getaway for her. But it's times that I could just dive into it without interruption and get a lot done. But it's over the course of years.
Did you find that you needed to, you know, put your phone in the other room, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really the truth. There's so much noise that you have even in your everyday life that interrupts that process. That if you're myself, I'll just say it for myself, when I'm trying to write, it's got to be kind of uninterrupted time.
So if somebody, if this has piqued somebody's interest, how do they get it?
Well, you know, actually, you could get it right here in town at Wild Away Books if you wanted to, but it's also online at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. It's even on iTunes.
Wow. Yeah. So a lot of options out there beyond just the actual publisher.
Yeah. I'm actually going to have a book signing on the 6th of January also. It's going to be over here at Old Soul Pizza, actually. Ray's got a little annex next door, maybe in the afternoon. I have a website. People could look up on my website, hollywondra.com, and they could track any of my signings that I have like that, too, if they want to come out and get it in person.
All right, hollywondra.com, and again, that book signing January
6th.
So mm-hmm. That is a Saturday,
It's
right?
A Saturday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, next door to Old Soul Pizza. Yeah. Well, it's pretty fascinating to see. We'll kind of watch this and see how it goes, a lot of folks want to write. Very few people actually achieve it. So you've done something good.
Well, that's nice of you to say. It took some time, but it's really been a pleasure to have done.
All right, Holly Wondred, Joe LaFontaine, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Kyle, thanks so much for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.